This evening I invite you to open up your Canons of Dort in the back of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, page 914. Page 914, we'll be looking at the last two articles, Article 14 and 15, as we conclude our series through the Canons of Dort in commemoration of the 400th anniversary of that synod, defending the truths of the gospel. So Article 14 and 15, page 914 in the back of our Trinity Psalter Hymnals. Article 14, God's use of means in perseverance. And just as it has pleased God to begin this work of grace in us by the proclamation of the gospel, so he preserves, continues, and completes his work by the hearing and reading of the gospel, by meditation on it, by its exhortations, threats, and promises, and also by the use of the sacraments. This teaching about the perseverance of true believers and saints, and about their assurance of it, a teaching which God has very richly revealed in his word for the glory of his name and for the comfort of the godly, and which he impresses on the hearts of believers, is something which the flesh does not understand. Satan hates, the world ridicules, the ignorant and the hypocrites abuse, and the spirits of error attack. The bride of Christ, on the other hand, has always loved this teaching very tenderly and defended it steadfastly as a priceless treasure. And God, against whom no plan can avail and no strength can prevail, will ensure that she will continue to do this. To this God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse 10. As we get ready to turn to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Our Father in heaven, as we open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. Pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, tonight we conclude our series through the canons of Dort, commemorating the truths of the gospel that were defended at the Synod of Dort 400 years ago. And as we've worked our way through all of these truths, what we've realized in a deeper way is God's sovereign love, His amazing grace, as we discover these truths throughout the canons of Dort. Total depravity. Our human corruption, the way that sin touches every aspect of our lives and how we are set free from that reign of sin. From the tea and the tulip we go to unconditional election, or as some like to call it, God's sovereign choice, or the fact that you were loved before even time began. Limited atonement, or definite atonement, or purposeful atonement. Christ knew who He was dying for, atonement. Irresistible grace, which is the Spirit's effective calling and regenerating work within us. And perseverance of the saints. How God preserves us, how He keeps us, how we are kept by God. And that's the question we're looking at this evening. How does God preserve us? How does God preserve you? And the simple answer is that He preserves you through the means of grace. Through the preaching of the gospel. Through hearing and reading His word. Through the sacraments. This is how God preserves you. And as we look at our passage this evening, we'll be looking at the power, the preaching, and the preserving of God's word. And so first, the power of God's word. Verse 16 in our passage this evening, all scripture is breathed out by God. Now, what's the difference between every book ever written in the history of humanity and the Bible, God's word, scripture? Well, the difference is that scripture, God's word, is breathed out by God. It is inspired. The breath of God, Holy Spirit inspired word of God. And let me remind you once again of the difference in terms of our own physical lives. When we were working our way through the Belgic Confession, I directed your attention to Genesis 2 verse 7. How the Lord God formed out of the dust of the earth man. And then what did He do? He breathed His breath, the ruach of the Lord, into man. And man what? Became a living being. He had the Spirit, the breath of God in him. And he was alive. And what happens when the Spirit of the Lord leaves us when we die? From dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The difference is the breath of God, the Spirit of God inside of us. Scripture is the breathed word of God. And Paul's telling Timothy, this young pastor here, that all scripture, scripture as a whole, the entirety, is the breathed out word of God. All scripture is breathed out by God. Another way of saying that is that scripture is the word of God. That this is the word of the Lord. It's breathed out by God. It is the product of the creative breath of God. The same breath that brought the entire universe into existence is the breath of God that spoke His word. And that's why we describe Scripture as being inspired. It's how the Holy Spirit influenced the writers of Scripture. Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that the Bible was breathed out by God. It means that God was inspiring the writers of the books and the letters and the Psalms to write down and remember God's Word. Paul told the Corinthians that the Spirit of God gave him the words that he used to teach them God's truth. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." And so kids, boys and girls, God used people to write His words down in the Bible. In a similar way, God worked through the men writing in a special way so that they wrote down exactly what God wanted them to say. Exactly what God wanted to say. 2 Peter 1 verse 21, for those of you taking notes, 2 Peter 1 verse 21 is the best biblical definition of inspiration. "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And that's why we talk about God's Word being living and active. It's not stagnant. That's the reason every time we read a passage that we have memorized, it hits us in a new way. Just like you never walk through the same river twice because the water's flowing, God's Word is living and active, new every morning. Hebrews 4 verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. All Scripture is breathed out by God." And it is how God preserves us, protects us, sustains us. Article 14 in the Canons of Dort describes how God preserves us. God began His grace. How did we get to this point? Well, faith comes through hearing, hearing through the proclamation of the Word. So Dort puts down that just as it has pleased God to begin this work of grace, so how did this work begin? It began by the proclamation of the gospel. And then it goes on. Not only does God start this work of grace by the proclamation of the gospel, so He preserves, continues, and completes His work by the hearing and reading of the gospel. Meditation, by its exhortations, threats, promises. If you want to put it in Paul's terms here, through its teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. God uses His Word as the means to accomplish His preserving work. And along with the proclamation of the gospel, we have the use of the sacraments, which we experienced this morning. This is how God strengthens your faith. This is how He preserves you. Just like He uses rain to make things grow, He uses His Word to preserve and keep us. As Christians, you will never grow without the gospel. And we sometimes forget this, or we take this reality for granted. We underestimate the power of God's Word in our lives, preserving us and keeping us and helping us make it all the way through. When people think about the gospel, they often think about it in terms of the door to get into Christianity, evangelism, outreach. Yeah, that's the gospel. I heard the gospel and I accepted Christ, and that's the door that got me into the church. We preach the gospel to get people in, evangelism, right? But then once you're in, once you become a Christian, the temptation is to live our lives as if the gospel has no impact or influence. I heard about what Christ did for me, and I became a Christian, and it's not until I'm about to die that I'm gonna need to hear the gospel again. Preacher, you know, as I'm on my deathbed, tell me about Jesus and what He's done for me as I get ready to go to heaven. Dr. Julius Kim describes this view of the gospel as the two portals or doorways. One door to get in and one door to get out. But what we fail to realize is the gospel is not only the portal to get in, but it's also the power to sustain us and preserve us all the way through. Because the gospel declares that you get in, that you are part of Christ, but it also declares that you are united with Christ, renewed day by day by His Spirit. Every one of you, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, needs Jesus for your justification and sanctification, and what we're looking at tonight, your preservation till the end. And the way that God preserves us, the way that He keeps us, is through His Word. And that's the power that we're talking about in the first place. Secondly, we're looking at the preaching of God's Word. Chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Paul experienced this. He's mentioning the persecutions he's faced in chapter 3, verse 12. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people, imposters, go from bad to worse, deceiving, being deceived, transitioning from the truth to the myths. Jesus mentioned this when He explained the parable of the four different soils, that those who seemed to be believers turned out to be unbelievers as they wither after hearing the gospel. They never had true faith in the first place. They want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. We become the standard rather than God's Word. People love to hear something different, something extraordinary. Switch it up, we've already heard that already. So they look for a teacher who will tell them what they want to hear. Don't talk about that bloody atonement anymore. Instead, just talk about Jesus being a really good example. We don't want all that doctrine. Instead, tell us this. Tell us that. In the 4th century, Church Father Gregory wrote about itching ears. When this syndrome is in place, people who call themselves Christians will find the truth in Christ Jesus intolerable and will seek to stamp it out. Many preachers today fill sports arenas by doing exactly this. By telling people what they want to hear about their money, about their health, about their wealth, about politics, or by entertaining them with fascinating stories or bizarre doctrines that appeal to their curiosity. Why don't you tell more stories? So much doctrine goes over my head, more stories will capture my attention. We need to let God's Word speak to us, and we need to be willing to listen, because the power is in the preaching of God's Word. This is how God is preserving us. This is how He is keeping us through whatever we face. This is how He is sustaining us. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Article 15, even though the teaching of perseverance is something revealed in Scripture and for the glory of God's name and for comfort of believers, it is something that the flesh doesn't understand. By nature, we think we can help ourselves. It's the pull myself up by my own bootstraps mentality. We are not receptive to the idea that the Lord alone delivers and preserves. How is God going to preserve through a book? How is He going to preserve and keep me? Or a story about some Jewish guy who was crucified. Why doesn't He preserve me by adjusting the number in my bank account a little bit higher? Why doesn't he preserve me by healing me from this cancer, making things a little easier, giving me my best life now? The flesh doesn't understand this. Satan hates this. The devil doesn't want us to have assurance of salvation. The devil doesn't want us to have comfort in life and in death. He wants us to question and doubt our faith rather than grow in it. The world ridicules this. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Sunday night to the world is for football. Why would all of you be spending a valuable Sunday evening in church listening to some old book instead of watching the game? That's the world's response. The ignorant and the hypocrites abuse those who outwardly belong to the people of God but still go their own way instead of submitting to God's word. They don't put up with the sound doctrine and follow their own wills and itching ears instead of the word of God. And the spirit of error attacks heretics. Throughout history, the church faces those who attack the truths of God's amazing grace, of the truths of the gospel defended in the canons of Dort. And so instead of denying the truth, sound doctrine, instead of suiting our own desires, instead of gathering around us teachers and preachers who say what we want to hear, we submit ourselves to God's word because that is what grows us. That is what preserves us. The preserving power of God's word. And that's our third and our final point this evening. There are four purposes of Scripture, or four reasons why Scripture is profitable. As verse 16 points out, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof or rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Now, these four purposes of Scripture can be divided into two main sections. Basically, what God's Word is doing for us is instructing and training us when it comes to what we believe and how we live. That's what the gospel does. You can describe it in a few different ways. This is doctrine and practice. This is belief and behavior. Orthodoxy, orthopraxy. This is creed and conduct. It's all getting at how Scripture is used to shape what we believe and how we live our life. And so the first part is dealing with our belief. It's dealing with the doctrines that we believe. And first, positively, is teaching us. The gospel is positively teaching us what to believe. The doctrines of the gospel, it instructs, it teaches us the truth. Knowing what we believe and why we believe it. It's useful for teaching. Preach the word, Paul tells Timothy. Be ready in all season to reprove, rebuke, exhort, with complete patience and teaching. So positively teaching. But secondly, when our beliefs get off track, Scripture, gospel is there for reproof and rebuking. It's used to correct our errors, our wrong beliefs and heresies when it comes to these truths. The idea in this word is exposing someone's sin in order to bring about that correction. In that way, God's word convicts us and confronts us in our errors. That's belief. Next comes behavior. God's word addressing our behavior and our practice. This is how Scripture is useful in correcting and guiding our lives. Our Christian living, first the negative, is correcting. Scripture corrects our improper behavior. It sets us back on the right course. Like when Ephesians tells us, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth. We're getting back onto the right course. It's God's word correcting our life. In addition to correcting is training. Here's the positive. We are training, guiding, learning how to live in a right way, speaking the truth in love, in a way that's helpful for building others up. And so, depending on what part of God's word we're looking at, Scripture is teaching us, rebuking us when it comes to our belief, correcting us or training us when it comes to our life in righteousness. Or the same passage is touching four different people in one of those four ways because of where they're at in their life. What do I mean? Psalm 139, we looked at it this morning. We learned that God is with you. God is present with you. So, first you have Scripture teaching you. This is the truth, that God is present with you. This is what we are called to know and believe. But that same passage could also be rebuking you if you deny that truth for some reason, or if you're on the run from God, or you have this feeling that God has abandoned me, He has left me. All of a sudden, Psalm 139 is rebuking you and correcting your wrong belief, your lack of faith. Or it's correcting you. Instead of living in fear or doubt or running from the Lord, it's correcting that wrong behavior and training you, telling you positively how we are to live and conform and have that assurance and confidence with God's presence. And in that way, we are completely, fully equipped for every good work, so that, in order that, the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the ultimate purpose here. This is why Scripture is inspired. Purpose of Scripture's inspiration, the reason for God's breathed out word. It provides the content and direction for all Christians to be fully equipped and enabled to do every good work. Hear the gospel. Read the gospel. Meditate on the gospel. Its exhortations, its threats or its warnings and its promises as it teaches you, as it rebukes you, as it corrects you, and as it trains you. Paul's encouraging the young pastor Timothy here, and he's telling him, Timothy, Scripture is all you need to be completely ready for every good work. And what that means for us as believers is that God's Word, Scripture, is all that we need as Christians to be fully equipped for every good work God calls us to, and to be fully preserved. The perseverance of the saints, because we are preserved by God, by His living word. The power, the preaching, and the preserving of God's word. I'm going to conclude this evening by reading Article 15 for us. This teaching about the perseverance of true believers and saints and about their assurance of it, a teaching which God has very richly revealed in His Word for the glory of His name and for the comfort of the godly, and which He impresses on the hearts of believers, is something which the flesh does not understand. Satan hates. The world ridicules. The ignorant and the hypocrites abuse. And the spirit of error attack. The bride of Christ, on the other hand, has always loved this teaching very tenderly and defended it steadfastly as a priceless treasure. And God, against whom no plan can avail and no strength can prevail, will ensure that she will continue to do this. To this God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, standing in awe of the gospel truths that are ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, you preserve us, you keep us, and you do so through your word, through the power, through the preaching, the preserving of your word. And we praise you and we thank you for that. And we ask that you will continue this work of preservation so that we can persevere to the very end. Lord, continue your work in us, growing and strengthening our faith in Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.